Joins me nicely now to our guest, Ian Webb, who has joined us. Ian, thank you so much for coming in today. Hi.
It's a pleasure.
Hi. Now, you are Community Conservation Officer for Cambridgeshire, and we're going to be talking to you about lots of lovely things. But first of all, what was your Halloween event, the Wildlife Trust's Halloween event last night?
A Halloween event at Trumpington Meadows, our new nature reserve, just south of Cambridge. It was very much looking at the wildlife you can see at night. Obviously, Halloween, it's just around the corner, so people are focused on the nighttime and the wildlife. And so we had a bit of a walk around the nature reserve with torches and bat detectors, managed to see a few bats. Not hear many, unfortunately, but this isn't a perfect time for bats. Spring and summer is better. This time of year, the bats will be getting ready to hibernate, so feeding up and finding those special places to find suitable places to overwinter. But there was a chap, our colleague Paul, was talking about hedgehogs. He was showing us hedgehog footprints and showing us he's doing a survey of the city, trying to get records of hedgehogs in Cambridge just to see how well they're doing. Because hedgehogs aren't having a good time of it at the moment. They're declining quite considerably.
Because their habitat is disappearing.
Yeah, habitat disappearing and food supply is reducing and all various manner of things, unfortunately. But Cambridge seems to be quite a hot spot for hedgehogs. So if you have any, if you've seen hedgehogs in your garden, do please contact Paul at the Wildlife Trust for Cambridgeshire, and he'll be happy to stick your little dot on the map of his and add to the understanding of how valuable Cambridge is for hedgehogs. And so we talked about hedgehogs, there were bats, didn't hear any owls, unfortunately. This is a good time for owls because they'll be resetting up their territories after breeding, and so you're hearing hootsing of owls, tawny owls in particular, around Byron's Pool. And a moth trap was set up. Didn't get that many moths, unfortunately. They wasn't out for long enough.
What's a moth trap?
Well, it was a very simple moth trap. It was a white sheet hung up on a hedge with a torch shining on it, which is you can do in your garden any time throughout the year. Summertime is the best. There's more moths around. And it's usually left for a lot longer. The event finished at 7 o'clock because a lot of the attendees, which was fantastic, were under the age of 7, I think.
Aww.
So it was great to get them out.
And you said you also had something else to attract the moths.
Oh, yeah, so wine ropes. So some moths aren't attracted to light, but they are attracted to sweet foodstuffs. So you can make a mixture of red wine and sugar and molasses and things like that and soak ropes in it and you hang them up and that sweetness and fruitiness of the wine rope attracts these moths and you can find moths feeding on the wine rope.
Well, that sounds lovely. So you are obviously a bat specialist, and I know Scudamore, the Punts, you run a bat safari, is that right? Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, yeah, the partnership between the Wildlife Trust and Scudamore's Punting Company has been going on. We've just finished our sixth season, and it's, I think, a very successful partnership. I'm obviously biased. Half the ticket proceeds from the Bat Punt Safaris go to the Wildlife Trust. In the previous 5 years, that's raised £21,000 for the Trust.
That's amazing.
Which is great, you know, doing lots of valuable conservation work around the counties. And over 3,000 people turned up. And this year has been as successful. I haven't totted up the numbers yet, but hopefully it'll be very good.
So where does it go from?
It goes from the Mill Lane, Scudamore's punting area at Mill Lane, and you get punted very well by the chauffeurs of Scudamore's along towards Grantchester Meadows, and there'll be somebody like myself talking about bats and their habitats, their ecology, that sort of thing. And hopefully, and this is just before sunset, so 15, 20 minutes before sunset, you get punted along. It's beautiful, tree-lined, whatever, and then the bats come out when it gets dark enough. We've got bat detectors, and you'll hear the wonderful noises that bats make, and you'll see them so close. I tell everybody when I do this, it's the best bat experience you can have in Britain. You are in a punt, and the bats are flying over you within a couple of inches in some cases, and it is fantastic, really very enjoyable. They run every Friday from mid-May to mid-September, and in the summer holidays, we run them on Saturdays as well, just to get as many people out there and enjoying the bats as possible.
That sounds brilliant. Make a note of that for your diaries for next year, people. Now, there are obviously lots of things locally people can get involved with at all times of year. So tell us a bit about what else, because you have volunteer conservation groups or tasks you do around Cambridge?
Every Tuesday and Wednesday, I take a volunteer team out. They're working on sites in and around the city of Cambridge. So Tuesdays it's within the city, so you can meet up on the site, and on the Wednesdays we go a bit further afield. But it's very much undertaking really valuable conservation work, because without the volunteer teams, a lot of the sites around the city that are valuable for wildlife wouldn't be in as good a state as they are now. So it's essential. I started off as a volunteer and really appreciate the work that volunteers can do. So if anybody out there wants to give, you know, doesn't have to be a full day, it could be just a half a day. It is really valuable, and it is great fun as well.
So what sort of things are you doing?
At the moment, it's cutting grass, raking up grass, clearing scrub, etc., stopping, you know, the natural process of scrub encroaching on grass, and we don't really want that. The grassland in Cambridge is really scarce now. We don't have much flower-rich grassland left, unfortunately, so really keep making sure that that is kept in the best condition possible is the key, and that's what the volunteers will be doing. There's a bit of pond work as well, clearing ponds out ready for the winter as well. But yeah, it's very much doing, get your hands dirty, or no, sorry, there are gloves available, but getting out there and doing valuable conservation work.
And you said there's a new nature reserve.
Yes, we mentioned Trumbeaton Meadows. Taking on, it's really quite an exciting place. It's 148 acres of country park and nature reserve south of Trumbeaton, so where there's a Trumbeaton Meadows development going on, the whole land sort of wrapping around it and over the M11 as well. It's wonderful. There's a lot of it's recently been sown with species-rich grassland, and it's being mown, etc. But there's also the original habitats. You know, there's some species-rich grassland. There's the riverside. There's a lake been put in. There's hedges been put in. And there's cattle on site as well, which is fantastic. I can go on about cows and how valuable they are with their dung that they produce, but that's for another show, maybe.
Yes, definitely, the cow dung show coming soon. That's really interesting, because I had no idea there was that there. Because you obviously just see the houses and presume there's just houses, but there's actually a lot more.
Oh, there's so much more. Brilliant. And it's because about 6-7 years ago, it was just farmland. And with the introduction of these, the plant seeds, etc., wildlife, you know, we've created habitats for wildlife, for more active wildlife, insects and birds, and they've reacted really positively. The new lake that was put in, it's now got a population of breeding toads and frogs and common newts, which is fantastic for toads in particular. They're having a bit of a tough time of it, finding, you know, having the suitable habitat, both terrestrial and you know, water-based habitats for them to survive. So having a new population within Cambridge is fantastic. And the bird life is wonderful. There's meadow pipits, skylarks, grey partridge. There's brown hares visiting as well. It is really quite wonderful. And otters are visiting now. I saw, very fortunate enough to see two otters in the river in April. April the 1st, mind you, but it was April. And so there is wildlife there. There's so much wildlife. And it connects so beautifully with the River Cam, which, you know, the river corridor that goes up into Cambridge as well. It's just wonderful. And I recommend everybody come and visit. Not at the same time, because it'd be a bit busy, but it is wonderful. And we do monthly meanders around the meadows on the third Monday of every month. So the next one is the 21st of November. And it's a wonderful opportunity. We meet at Byron's Pool Local Nature Reserve car park at 9:30. And we go for a meander around the meadows. Takes about 2-2.5 hours. Seeing what we can see, really. And it's wonderful to see the change throughout the year as well. It's been really very, very nice.
That does sound really lovely. And you've got a fungi foray?
Oh, yes, thank you. What's that? A fungi foray on the 13th of November, Sunday the 13th of November, meeting again at Byron's Pool Car Park. And we'll have an expert, a chap called Peter. He's amazing fungi expert. And we'll just be wandering with him, looking out for what fungi we can see. Yeah, it should be really, really good. It's wonderful how, with the summer ending, you think autumn's quite dreary, but the fungi that come up is quite beautiful. They look fantastic.
Oh, that does sound amazing. So Cambridge has got lots of things to get involved in, which is great, but let's talk about bats specifically now. So I read that there are 18 species of bat just in the UK alone. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah. There's a new species found about 6 years ago. Alcathoa's whiskered bat was discovered. I don't think we have that in Cambridge yet, and we have, in the county of Cambridge, we have 12 species have been recorded of those 18, and within the city, I think 8 species have been recorded, probably more. But it just shows how, even though Cambridge and Cambridgeshire are quite, well, certainly Cambridgeshire seems quite an arable agricultural county, where there is habitat and it's well connected, the bats will be there. And that's what I was mentioning before. If you create the habitat, nature will fill it with, you know, wildlife will fill it.
So where are these bats hanging out? Are they in church towers? Are they in trees? Where do they live?
Depending on the species, certain species like living in buildings, like the pipistrelle bats will like living in buildings. And things like the noctule bats and the ceratops, well, the noctule bats like living in trees. They're very much a tree-based bat. But yeah, they'll be hanging around whenever there's opportunities for them.
So why do they hang upside down? That's the question I've always wanted to know.
It's various things. One way of, in their natural habitat, they'll be in caves or in tree holes. And so hanging upside down is, they're away from predators, a lot of land-based predators, if they're on the ground, they just get picked off quite easily. So hanging upside down helps them keep away from those predators. It also gives them up. It uses up space that would otherwise be unoccupied, because in a nest hole, the birds nest at the bottom of the hole, but there's opportunity above the nest to hang up and utilize that space. But also hanging upside down helps bats with flying and being not having to have very strong leg muscles, because to take off from the ground you need to be able to jump, really, and bats haven't got the leg muscles to do that. They really wanted to find out a way of doing it without having strong leg muscles, so they dropping from the air, you just have to open their wings, get to the right velocity and start flying, so they don't have to worry about strong leg muscles.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, I know I want to talk to you about bats because they get a bad rap at Halloween, don't they? I mean, people are generally quite scared of them, but I've actually seen a bat quite close up. I've been very, very lucky, and they are the cutest mammals I think I've ever seen. They are so sweet. So, you know, just bust some of those myths about bats being not very nice.
They're wonderful. They're the Pippa's Rubber Bat, the commonest bat. The bat you'll see around your garden can fit into a matchbox. It was a tiny little thing. Insectivorous. It eats tiny little flies like mosquitoes. You know, so if you're bugged by mosquitoes in the summer, having bats around will really help keep those down. They're mammals. They're furry. They're very cute. And they don't get caught in your hair. You know, I have short hair, but that's not because I work with bats. It's because their echolocation is so fine. They can pick up something that sort of the narrowness of a human hair and avoid it. So they're very quite aware of where we are. So they don't get in your hair. They don't bite you unless you really provoke them, because you don't really want to provoke a bat because they're too cute. Yeah, they're not smelly or anything. They're just lovely. And they live for a long time. A pipistrelle bat can live up to 15, 20 years. And they have one pup a year, and come along to a bat pond safari and learn so much more about bats.
And so what's your favourite bat? And like I'm talking about in the world now, so there's obviously massive bats, small bats. Talk us through what's your favourite.
Oh, there's over 1,300 species of bat in the world, and it would be difficult to pick out my favourite.
Give us some facts about the smallest.
The biggest bat is the golden-crowned fruit bat of the Philippines, and that has a wingspan of up to 5.5 feet. You know, weighing about 1.5 kilos, so fairly hefty fruit bat. And then you get this thing called the bumblebee bat, and as the name suggests, it's the size of a bumblebee, and it's the smallest mammal in the world, a tiny, tiny little thing. So, and there's all these various bats in between. You've got the long-eared bats, you've got the fisher bats that catch fish, you've got vampire bats, which are fantastic, you've got bats that eat frogs, bats that eat other bats, there's one called the butterfly bat, a wonderful creamy white and black or dark brown bat from Sudan, I think they found fairly recently. And they are wonderful creatures, really, really wonderful, and essential for all the habitats throughout the world. They're found on every continent except the Antarctic and some of the isolated oceanic islands. So they're everywhere.
Amazing.
And so you should love your bats.
Oh, well, we'll think of that when we're decorating our houses with bats. Oh, thank you so much, Ian. That has been amazing. Now, tell us again how we can get in touch or find out more from the Wildlife Trust. Is there a website?
Yes, it's www.wildlifebcn.org. So the BCN stands for Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Northamptonshire. We've got a very good website. Any events you want to look at, learn about volunteering, learning about becoming a member of the trust, which is essential, is really key. And look at the website. There's lots of things going on, not just in Cambridgeshire, but elsewhere as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. And I've learnt loads. It's been really interesting. Thank you. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. But it's time now for the travel.